Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Caldera Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive. Today's date is February the 4th, 2016. And tonight's topic is the Wakil and the Wali. The importance of a Wakil and or Wali for marriage and daily living. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to have another day of life, to be able to see this day and share it with my friends and family and you all that listen to the show. I appreciate your participation. I appreciate your promotion. And without you, the listeners, I couldn't do the show. If I had nobody listening to me, it wouldn't be interactive. So that's why I also, you know, challenge you guys to participate in the call and to, you know, not just sit and listen as an audience, but to actively participate, like when I ask you to, if I'm going to open up the lines, to press one so that you could talk, to say a piece. You don't necessarily have to speak on something on the topic. You know, I just want to keep that open for you as an option, you know, when you call into the show. It's not all about me, it's about you. And if there is something that you would like me to mention on the show or talk about on the show, we could do that as well. I usually like to wait to the end the call to do that, and you know, I'll honor that, and I'll listen to, you know, whatever you have to say. This, again, this show is for you. It's not about me. It's to educate people. Some people, you know, don't have a platform or a forum to ask these types of questions or to have someone address these type of issues in a layman's way. You know, I do the show to give an insight because, I mean, we will never know everything about the religion. Let's be clear on it. We will never know anything. There is a lot of things that we can seek knowledge on, but we still won't fully understand the true aspect of that, you know, without years of studying. And, you know, this is something that, you know, I've wanted to get a better understanding of what the role is of the Wakil and the Wali. What is the role of the Wakil and the Wali? Like, what's the difference? Why are they important? Is it necessary to have one? Certain guidelines and situations that should be avoided from the Wakil and Wali. These are all things I'm going to try, inshallah, to the best of my ability to address tonight. And, you know, hopefully I can give you a better understanding of the topic and also educate you and let you understand what the difference is and why they're needed and things that we should, things that we, you know, need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed certain things through the Quran because it was just okay. I'm just Allah saying, okay, I'm just going to reveal it, but not have any kind of meaning or connotation behind it. We know that everything that was revealed in the Quran, even the smallest, the shortest verse in the Quran has significant meaning to it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, we have to listen attentively, we have to listen dutifully, and then seek to task spirit on it. You know, not everything that Allah reveals, we're going to get it just like that. We're not just going to be able to, you know, comprehend, oh, okay, I get it, I understand it. Because a lot of things that are revealed, we may think it means one thing when it actually means another. And this is taking place because, you know, even with Arabic, there are different versions of Arabic. So if what they call classical Arabic is what you read in the Quran. But the meaning of those things are different than regular speaking Arabic. If you have Arabic from different classifications and so forth and so on, they have different meanings. So unless you're a student of knowledge, a sheikh, a mufti, a scholar, someone who has studied this and consulted with other people who are very knowledgeable around Islam, you won't know these things. And I think a lot of times, you know, we take for granted a lot of things for superficial reasonings. We don't look at the in-depth reason why these things are important or why Allah revealed them in the Quran the way that he did. A lot of times we want to think we know better than Allah. I'm not saying directly, but sometimes you think, okay, if I do it a certain way, which is not really, you know, too far off, it'll be okay. And we can't. We can't. If that wasn't your true intention and you did it and you really didn't think that it was so far off, then, you know, may Allah, you know, reward you for what you thought was correct and give you the wisdom behind it to know the difference next time or for you to be able to seek out the knowledge on a particular matter. You know, we don't purposely seek out to be disobedient to Allah. I don't think we do anyway. So why is it important to have a wali or a wakil? Now, let me first explain the difference. The wakil, and you will hear a lot of people say, you will hear a lot of people say wakil, wali, or whatever, and a lot of people, you know, who may be new to Islam may not know the difference. Your wakil is a blood relative. So this is someone that you couldn't marry. So, for instance, my wakil is my blood brother. We share the same mother and father. So he's my wakil. Now, if this was someone appointed to me through the community or a family friend, someone that I could marry, then he is considered as your wali. But he can marry you. So later on in the call, I'm going to get into some of the roles and responsibilities that are incumbent upon a wali, and also certain guidelines, the things that you should not cross. Because, again, your wali is someone you can marry. It is not your wakil. It's not a blood relative like your father, your uncle, your brother, so forth and so on. And if you had to go down through the line and it had to be a cousin, that would be your wali, not your wakil, because we know that you can marry your cousin. So that would be your wali. And still, you know, there are situations that we need to be aware of and know that certain things just aren't tolerated in those types of situations. So from birth till whenever you decide to get married, your father or a direct relative would be your wakil. Unless you have no male members in your family, that are Muslim, then you would have to go, you know, to the masjid. For someone else who is someone who is upstanding and have good character within the community, like the imam of the community, so forth and so on, then that would be your wakil. Your wakil is your protector. Your wali or your wakil is your protector. And it's not just, you know, for the marriage. You know that you need a mahram to travel, to do things, because once you get married, your husband then becomes your wali. It's to keep you safe. It's to protect you from a lot of things, hurt, harm, and danger that you may incur when you're outside the home. So it's always good, even if, you know, we live here in the West, so if you're traveling outside the home, it's good to let someone know where you're at and what you're doing and things like that. And it's not always, oh, because you want to, you know, keep track of me and want to follow me and worry about what I'm doing. It's for your own protection. It's for your own protection. There are a lot of things that go on out here in this society that could put anyone at danger. You know, and it's best that when you do go certain places or do certain things that you let your wakil, wali, know where you're going, so that, you know, in case, God forbid, something happens to you, they know where you're at and what your activities were. The job of a wakil, and my little brother is my wakil, and I make jokes of this all the time, because I'm like, he's not marrying me to nobody. He's not going through it. Like, I'm not saying nobody, and I was hoping he'd join the call today, but he ignored me. He ignored me when I sent him the text to respond by being a guest on the show. He ignored me, so I just laughed it off. And one thing for sure, and two things for certain, I know, and this is something that is important. I think that everyone who is looking for someone to be their wali should know this fact. When I first took shahada, my wali name was Abdul Latif. May Allah continue to preserve him, because this brother was on his A game. And I thank Allah every day for him, because he could have taking advantage of me because I was young. I didn't know the things that I know now about Islam. I didn't know, you know, all the processes. And this brother brought me into his home with his wife, his children. He taught us together. He treated me as if I was his daughter. And that is the one thing that I will be eternally grateful for, because wakils and walis nowadays, they prey on their wards, the people, the sisters who, you know, they're managing, who they're responsible for. Not one time did I ever get that from him. And like I said, this brother treated me as if I was his daughter. He protected me and safeguarded me from things that he would not have put his own daughter, he would not have, you know, questioned the brothers like he would question them for his own daughter. And that's what I got from him. And, you know, may Allah preserve him and keep him and his family safeguarded from evil, I mean. And that's what you should look for in a wali. Someone who is going to have your best interest. Someone who is going to take the time to be diligent, to follow up with these brothers, to question them as if you were their sister or their daughter or, you know, their niece. You know, this is what the job of the wali is. You would not want to just pick someone up off the street and say, okay, yeah, I'm Hawali, and I approve of this marriage. Like, no, like, this is the reason why a lot of times marriages fail, because people play with the religion and think that it's a joke just to, you know, go through the motions, go through the process. And one thing that I was told is that, and I get it now, because if I would have listened to my brother, even though he's younger than me, you know, I asserted my authority because I'm his older sister, I wouldn't have went through the situation that I went through. And I totally, solely take responsibility for that, because what my brother said to me, he said, a man knows another man, and a woman knows another woman. And what is meant by that is, someone else explained to me, men look for things. So men are looking for beauty. They're looking for the outward appearance, because that's what entices them. Women look for things that brothers say. So if you have an elegant speech, eloquent kalam, if you're good with hadith, you can recite hadith, you can recite Quran at the drop of a dime, things like that. You're very knowledgeable. Okay, you know, this Sahaba said this, and, you know, this is in this hadith, it's in Dawood, it's in Al-Bukhari, you know. When you're able to do those type of things, it entices, or those are the things that a woman likes. She doesn't necessarily look at, she looks at your appearance and things like that, but the way that you speak to her and the manner that you speak to her is what really entices her. So how they say it, the old saying, they can woo you with words. And that's true. If you have, you know, some people say you can talk somebody's socks off of them, you know, is the saying, things like that, because some people have that eloquent speech that entices or entraps somebody. And once you do that, it's like, basically, you know, she's going to do what she wants to do regardless of what you say. You know, and I talked to a couple people about this topic and things like that, and one of the things that was said was, when a sister approaches someone that she knows that may be, you know, a good, upstanding individual who likely take on the job of being her wali, this particular brother always asks, have you been in contact or in conversation with the person you're intending to marry? Is this already in process and now you're just looking to complete the marriage? And a lot of brothers will turn that down and say, like, you know, no, I'm not going to approve of it, and I'm not going to be your wali, for the simple reason that if I interview this brother or if I question this brother about certain things, and there are things that I don't like about him that makes me feel uneasy about giving my approval for the marriage, and I tell you, it's going to be too late because he didn't already talk to you and got you feeling a certain way about him. This is why it's important that when a brother approaches you for marriage, that you don't indulge in conversation with him, that you give it to your wakil or your wali to deal with, to see where this person's head is at. Because anybody that's going to come at you and, you know, be like, okay, we're talking this and that, and you're talking for months, and now y'all want to plan to get married, where is the wakil or the wali at in that process? It is their job to make sure that they have interviewed and basically interrogated the brother. Now, I'm not talking about, like, you know, have him scared half to death, but let him know that you're a person that he cares about. You know, he cares about what happens to you. He's concerned about, you know, your welfare and your well-being and your maintenance. Will you be maintained? Are you a suitable or compatible fit for this person, because everybody's not compatible. Everybody's not going to be, you know, on the same level and as you know, what you think. Now, my brother, may Allah be pleased with him, he's funny. He's funny. Because I know that he wants nothing but good for me. And I understand that and I get that. You know, he's going to try to see if he could find someone that he thinks that I would be compatible with. And, you know, that's fine. That's fine. That's all well and good. But, you know, again, I'm not in any rush right now. You know, it'll be what it is. And, you know, I had a situation that occurred this week about a brother approaching me for marriage. And it's like, oh, yeah, I need you to tell everybody we're, intended to be married, this and that. And I didn't hold conversations with him. He talked to my Wakil, and, you know, he's like, oh, I want to move forward with this and things like that and everything. And, you know, I got a slight feeling about the whole thing. So then, you know, when I talked to my brother, I said, what was your take on it? He was like, negative. And I said, I knew you was going to say that, and I'm not disagreeing with you on that, because it's just something not right about that. Like, I asked him, I said, what was your thoughts on that? He was just like, you know, the whole situation. I don't see how that's going to be beneficial to you and how that's going to be beneficial to him. And I said, you're absolutely right, because the situation was just out of pocket. Like, it was, you know, it was just something that was not feasible. It was just not feasible, and it made no clear sense on what his intentions were. Now, as far as his knowledge and, you know, everything like that, 100%. But some things just didn't sit right with me, and once my brother confirmed that, I left it where it was at. These are the things that we have to be mindful of, because, you know, because of the situation I went through, I'm more aware, I'm more cognizant of, you know, what to be leery of and what to look out for. But again, my Wakil is a man, and he knows a man like a man knows a man, like as far as, you know, things that men do and how men approach things. So when he confirmed my suspicions on what took place, I was like, oh, okay, you know, and we discussed it further. And I was like, you know, I was like, oh, I'm not disagreeing with you, because ultimately, you know, me thinking I know better than you put me in a situation that I didn't want to be in. And, you know, it left things in my life in disarray. So I'm not doing that again. And Allah appointed men who are your Wakil first and foremost, which is somebody in your family, that right over you. And it goes back to maintaining your Wakil is 9 times out of 10 your father, or, again, if your father is deceased, the next Muslim person in your family. So these are people that have watched you grow up. These are people who had the job of safeguarding you and protecting you and keeping you safe and, you know, keeping things from harming you. So it's important, no matter how bad you want to get married, you want to do this, you want to do that, don't do it. And another thing for advice that I want to give to the sister, stop letting these brothers con you into telling you, let their friend do it, or they got a homie who can be your wali and stand in so we can get married. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Don't do it. Go through the masjid, all possible, or if somebody in your community takes on that role and responsibility of a wali, let them do their job. let them do their job, because it's a tough job. And if you want somebody that is going to be able to do and uphold the tenets of Islam like they're supposed to be upheld, if this person is really on their job as far as being a wali in the community and is taking on that responsibility, let that brother do his job. Let him do his job. If your family member is your wakil, let them do their job. And, you know, ask Allah for patience with the situation, because it's not going to be like, oh, brother, just drop out the side. Okay, yeah, we get married. Everything was approved. We're getting married. No, you're going to go through trials and tribulations, and you're going to get frustrated and things like that, but just be patient. Be patient. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. You know, the whole situation that went down this week, you know, I said that, you know, this brother just wanted to jump into things or whatever like that. Oh, I talked to your wakil. Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, okay. All right, yeah, all right. And he's like, you know, update your status. Put this out there. Let the brothers know you're taken and all this other stuff. Oh, all right. Okay. Again, I warned the sisters earlier about this, you know. You guys, I have heard things. People have come back to me and told me things that were said about me. And let me just say this. I think outside the box. I'm a critical thinker. I'm not someone who conforms to what you think would be normal. So anything that comes from me, watch what I do versus what I say. And the reason why I say that is for this reason. You know, it was said that, oh, every other week she's intended to somebody. And I'm like, what you should have been asking is why those brothers never made the cut. Because I'm not just putting it up there, because I could put somebody's name up there and tag them or whatever like that, and they could delete it. When I update my status or say, you know, intended, they had to approve that. So don't think that it's just me updating it because I want to update it. I'm also putting it out there as a clear warning. Someone is approaching me for marriage. You know, because people look at what you put on Facebook. They look at your status. They look at, you know, who you are, what you're talking about, things like that. They're looking at all that. So if they're looking at all those things, they are getting a visual perception of you that may not be true, may not even be accurate. Because, again, you know, y'all think I put all my business on Facebook when I don't. There's a lot of things that you don't know about me private because, you know, again, I put out there what I want you to know, not what I need you to know. And people who know me personally know that I am a very private person. There are a lot of things you just don't know about me, and you won't, because that's me. But when I put those updates and things like that, it is a clear warning to you to think, why is it? And a couple people caught on to it. A couple people caught on to it. You know, one sister I'm cool with, well, you know, she sort of knows me. She was like, yeah, you're just cautious. And she was like, you know, why didn't they make the cut? Exactly. Exactly. Because I'm not just meeting with this brother and say, oh, we're going to get married. No, he has to go through my wakil. Let's say two back and forth inboxes. Here's my wakil information. Contact them. You know, brothers like, oh, your wakil's going to grind me up. Well, then why are you concerned he's going to grind you up? Is there something to be concerned about you being grinded up? What is it that you would feel like he would grind you up on? You know, I'm not going to play the game like I tell people. I'm not getting no younger. And the time for the games and the playing around have long ceased, have long been over. You're going to Mawakil. If you pass the test with him, we'll see how this works. Inshallah, Allahu Alam. That's how I, you know, used to go about it. I'm not going to, you know, be like, oh, you know, no. Here's my Wakil information. Contact him. You know, I advise him. He works two jobs. He has a family to maintain and take care of. He does not have time to chit-chat with you every 5 minutes. You need to schedule some time when he's available and you're available in those times where, you know, work both best for both of you, then that's the time that, you know, you should work on. Don't keep contacting me, asking me why he hasn't accepted your friend request, why he's not responding to your text messages. Don't ask me that, because I explained to you from the beginning, he's busy. Him being my wakil is not his job. I mean, it's one of his jobs, but it's not his job. A lot of, you know, brothers don't want to take the time out to approach sisters wakils or walis. Like, you just think that you're supposed to conform to this Western idea that, you know, you can date, you can do, no, like, and you're going to get what your hand calls for. Because when you disobey a law or you think you know better than a law is going to give you exactly what your hand calls for. See, me, I learn from my lessons. I need one time. I don't like to feel upset. I don't like to feel sick. I don't like to feel depressed. I don't like to feel angry, hateful, vengeful. I don't like to feel like that. So one time I'm in a situation, Quadir is not making that situation happen again. And if it did happen again, it's because I was clearly not aware of it. Or I clearly did not see that coming. Like, it had to blindside me, basically. So, I'm not in the business of keep committing and making the same mistakes over and over and over again and then keep making excuses for them, for happening, you know what I mean? So I just leave it at that. If anybody is on the line and you want to speak, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. If you are streaming live via the web, you can go to the chat box, and you can type in your question, and then I can read it while we're on the air. You have to type it now if you listen to the show at a later broadcast. You cannot go to the chat box to type, because I won't be on the air. It'll be archived. It's so important that we leave that job to our wakil. Now, we can put our input into things to have them ask certain questions and things like that. And my brother, knowing my type of person, he knows that, you know, I like foreigners. So it was this American brother who who approached him, and he was like, you know, I'm ready to approach your wakil or whatever. So I said, all right. So he's like, all right, give me his information, and I'm going to reach out to him. I said, you know, he might not contact you right back because he works and, you know, he has a family. But I'll let his wife be aware that someone may be reaching out to him. So he's like, you know, inshallah, he'll do that. So I was like, oh, okay, alhamdulillah. He was like, why did he ask me where I'm from? And so I just, you know, put laughing faces on a post because I just felt it so funny. He's like, why would he? I said, it's an inside thing. He's like, so the brother really wanted to know why he said that. And he got offended by it. So I said, why were you offended by it? And he was like, well, you're going to like what you like. And I said, well, yeah, but if, you know, you're someone that could match that criteria, yeah, I have a type, but it's not like set in stone that, you know, this is what I need to have and I'm going to have that particular type person no matter what. No, I'm not saying that. So the brother was like, oh, no, you know, you're not willing to do this, you're not willing to do that. So my brother contacted me. He was like, yo, he was like, dude, it's telling me all these things, like, you know, because you don't want to wear an overhead abaya and a niqab, he said he's done. I said, okay, Allahu a'lam. Like, okay, all right. Like, what do you want me to say? I mean, I'm not going to force you, or I'm not going to be put into an uncomfortable situation just to say that I'm married. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And my brother was just like, yeah, I didn't feel like that was a good fit either. Like, you know, you just come off the back like she can't work. She got to wear an overhead and a niqab, and she can't drive. I'm like, what? Like, okay. Like, you know, I mean, these were straight off demands. And, you know, I felt uncomfortable about that whole situation. So when my brother liked this, he was like, yeah, I know that's not going to be a good fit for you. Yeah. And you just have to be mindful of people's intentions themselves, because there's a way to go about it. If that is something that you feel as though is going to be pleasing to you, to have your wife in all black, overhead abaya and a niqab, alhamdulillah, that's fine. That's not unreasonable. But if you see that that is something that sister does not condone or do, it's going to be like the rib. The rib is bent. And the rib can flex a little bit. But if you try to straighten the rib, it's going to break. So with these types of situations, you know, if you ease your wife into these things, you know, let's go, Judge. This is something that would be, you know, nice for me. Let's go shopping. Pick out some that you would like to wear. Even though they're black, you know, they have different designs and things like that. Let's pick out something that you would like. You know, I just don't want to buy something for you and you're not pleased with it. Let's, you know, work our way up to it. Like, okay, you work during the week, Monday through Friday. So how about wearing, you know, the buy-in overhead on the weekends just to get yourself, you know, acclimated with it. No, he was just like, I need you to start doing that now. Like, that's not happening, dude. And I'm not saying that I would never do it, because never say never. I'm not saying that I would never do it, but something like that, I'm not accustomed to wearing that. That's not who I am. Do I wear a bias? Yes. Do I wear black? Sometimes. Do I wear niqab? No, I do not. So you making those demands like she has to start doing this now, that's just, you know, it pushed me far over, and I had already reached out to my brother to say, look, you know, and then, you know, my brother still felt uneasy because he was like, you know, about his approach, how the brother went about it. Like, she has to do this, she has to do that, and I'm just like, yeah, no, that's not working. But, you know, these are all things that, you know, I wanted to touch on the show about, because these are very important things that we have to focus on in this society, being in the society that we are. Don't let these brothers continue to hold conversations with you via inbox. You know, if he's interested in you, tell him to reach out to Wakil. Like, I mean, you know, once you go through the process and your Wakil is comfortable with him, then y'all can start to, you know, make plans to get married. Like, but if you want to fall into zina, or you want to fall into some other kind of situation, then entertain it. I'm not advising you to, but go ahead and entertain it, because you're going to get exactly what your hand calls for. nothing that, you know, people think, when you start off something haram, I don't see how you think it could turn into halal. You know, people do a lot of shady things and a lot of things that are not of the sunnah at all, and then get mad when things don't work out the way that they wanted them to. Again, I learned my lesson. I'm not fighting my Wakil on nothing. If I don't care if that brother had me smitten and I'm seeing stars and googly eyes before me, if my brother say no, I ain't doing it. Because he sees something in that brother that I can't see. And because he is a man, I have to take his best judgment, and may Allah increase him in that and make him more aware of that situation when he is looking for a zoj for me. I mean, you know, I'm going to go with what he thinks. Because, again, he's my brother. And he is going to look out for my best interest at hand. He's not going to let me marry somebody who's a joker, who would have me clowned out in the street and all things like this. He wouldn't do that. Like, he advised me of my last marriage not to do it. And I fought him on it, and we see where that happened. So this is why I'm not fighting him no more on that. You know, we should all look for someone who is going to be a wali, but treat you as if they were your wakil. And that's just my piece of advice. We should all look for that. For those sisters, may Allah bless you with someone who can be your guardian, your wali, and treat you as if they were your wakil. I mean, I pray that for the sisters, because that is something that's very critical. That is a key feature that is missing. Now I'm going to get into, you know, the wali having feelings for his ward. You know, astaghfirullah, fear Allah. If you feel as though that you now have feelings or intentions towards your ward, back off. Back off. Be the man and back off. Let her know that. I have seen brothers who will not marry sisters because they want to marry them themselves. And they will keep making up any excuse to do that. Oh, no, he ain't cool. He, you know, this and that. And you have intentions and feelings towards her. So back off. If it gets to that kind of situation, back off. We also have situations where, you know, the wali and the ward, like, y'all hanging out and rolling out, and this brother is married. Astaghfirullah, cut that out. Your wali is someone that you can marry, someone that is lawful. He still needs a third party when he is with you. Yeah, I guess y'all didn't know that. And sisters, if he is your wali, don't be calling this brother 11, 12 o'clock at night just to chit-chat. He got a wife and a family. That's disrespectful. And again, if you feel some kind of uneasy feelings from his wife towards you, it's because she knows just as well as you should know that you can marry her husband. So she has a right to feel that jealousy. Be respectful and mindful. He is someone that you can marry, so you should not be alone with him. I see wali's picking up, you know, their wards, and they hanging out. They going out to eat, and y'all taking selfies and stuff together like a star for law. Like, y'all could get married. Y'all could marry each other. Those kind of things need to stop because, yes, the wife has a very good reason of not liking you. And yes, that's your sister in Islam, but I understand why she would not like you. She would not like you because you can marry her husband. But that's not even the bad point. The point that she is uneasy with that or has some kind of attitude with that is because y'all two don't see it. And that if you two are alone, you need a third party. You're not her wakil, which is somebody that she can't marry. And I'm even respectful. Like, I don't text my brother, oh, this, you know, me and this brother was, you know, he wanted to talk to you, and I got his information for you, and, you know, I don't call my brother all times of the night. I know sometimes he don't even pay attention to his phone. So, you know, to make my sister-in-law feel, you know, at ease, even though that's my blood brother, I respect their marriage. I don't call him at all times of night. I don't keep constantly calling him. What I do is notify her. You know, this gives us a way to communicate and talk to each other and, you know, have some conversation with her because she's my family. Even though, you know, we're not blood family, she's in-law through marriage. And I should give her that respect and, you know, be cordial and friendly to her because that's family. You know, I include, hey, let my brother know when he's home from work or whatever like that, that, you know, it may be a brother reaching out to him. I'll check on my nephew, see how, you know, family doing, the kids doing, everybody's good. Okay, okay. Gave me, you know, a way to talk to her. But some of y'all sisters just feel like y'all Wale is like your uncle or your dad, and he's not. He's not your friend. He's not supposed to be your friend. And he needs to understand that particular role, that he's crossing boundaries that he should not partake in. On a whole, we need to tighten it up. Tighten it up. Bring in the reins a little bit more. Bringing the reins a little bit more on some of our key behaviors that we do. You know, we're too loose with it, and we want to give excuses for not conforming to the way that the Sunnah states that we should conform to. You know, we want to do things in a manner that we see fit, and those things will not be blessed. And we need to take the time to reevaluate the situation and know how to approach things in a respectful manner. You know, if I go, but brother inboxes me about something saying, oh, I want to talk to your Wakil, this and that, blah, 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 blah. I'll go check out the brother page just to see what he's about. And I tell brothers this all the time. I post this constantly. Brothers, if you are approaching a sister and you see that the sister talks about the religion, she keeps it clean, she's, you know, not arrogant, haughty, you know, she's humble, mild, meek mannered, reserved, things that you like, classy, she's classy. You know, she's keeping it together and things like that. And she goes on your page and she sees that you're drinking in the club, smoking weed, hanging out with all kinds of women, all kinds of nights, just in doing things that you're not supposed to. I don't care if those things are 5 years apart, 5 years from today, back in the past. If you are looking for a wife, trust and believe, this is what we do. Women are going to look on your page, and they're going to go way back. Because, yes, you may have changed. You may be a new person, and that may not be who you are. But just giving the perception that you left it up there for all to still see gives the impression that you really don't care what people think about you. And, yeah, regardless it was in the past, it's still there, whatever. Remove that stuff. Remove it. If you are seriously looking for a wife, and I'm not saying that you can't joke around and laugh and kid and do things like that. I'm absolutely not saying that. But you drinking in the club and got all kinds of scantily clad women on your page, and every other page is a booty shot, and every other page is some chick bent over and doing something, and, you know, all up on you, and got no sister in her right mind is going to condone that. And any Wali or Wakil who really is looking out for her best interest is not going to accept you. They're going to look at your page, too, because my brother does that. You know, if a brother approaches me and, you know, he's like, well, what's the brother's name? I screenshot your page, your cover page, so that he knows that it's you. Because some people have the same name or similar name. So I screenshot it. So when you send them the friend request or you inbox him, he knows who it's coming from. You know, he's looking at your page. He's looking at your page. He's looking at things. He's looking at who your friends are. He's looking at what you put up. He's looking at that. Now, I'm not saying that you got to put all your business up because I don't have all my business up. I don't have anything about my personal life, who the real me is. You guys only know Quadira, and I'm going to keep it that way. I don't put my employer up. I put that I do the show. I put that, you know, that I have my business, things like that, but I don't put my real employer up. I don't put where I really work at. And matter of frankly, it's none of your business. I don't put where I went to college at. I don't put that those things because those are personal things to me, and I don't want you guys knowing them. Once you get to know me, if we're married, I have no problem with sharing those things with you. But for Facebook, no, I'm not entertaining it. I'm not putting that kind of information out there. What I put out there is who I am. It's nothing shady or fake or phony. It's who I am, but on social networks. And, yes, I put jokes up and I kid around and do things like that. And, you know, it's all in all funny games and things like that. But if my brother sees something like that on your page, he's not going to entertain. He's like, negative. He'll text me back, negative. And I'll just laugh because I know why. I know why he said negative. You know, if we are really contemplating marriage and we are trying to make this thing serious, if we're really doing it for the sake of the law to complete half our deen so that, you know, we can live out the remainder of this life with a partner that inshallah will be reunited in Jannah with them, then do it for the sake of the law. And keep that first and foremost in your search, in your guidance. You know, make istikhara. Make istikhara. I tell any and everybody, make istikhara. And ask Allah for clear, decisive signs on what is revealed to you behind that. You know, we got to stop taking this as a joke and, you know, like I said, using the brothers you're going to potentially marry, friend, as your wali and things like this. And, you know, then we wonder why marriages fail. We wonder why. You know, because we don't look at it in the seriousness. We're either, one, looking to just fulfill our nafs. We're looking at the beauty of the person and not who they really are inside, which we should consider, and we don't. We don't. We think it's a game and think that we can continue this cycle of foolishness. And ultimately, is this going to be the demise of ourselves? I want to put the information out there for reaching me if you have a comment, question, concern about the show. You want to join the Religion Means a Live team, meaning that you want to have your own show on our format, you can do that. If you have a topic or something that you want me to talk about on the show, contact me. I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to feedback. I'm open to constructive criticism. I look forward to those things. I'm not here to be judgmental or put up a facade like I don't want to hear it because I think I know everything. My dearer doesn't know everything. And, you know, that's fine for me. That's absolutely fine for me. So if you want to reach me directly, You can call me at 610-836-2120. And if you want to reach me via email, you can email me at qamrma@gmail.com. You can find me on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talks. If you want to go to Facebook, you can go to the group, Religion Means Alive, Qadira section, and you can send me a message there. DM, inbox, it doesn't matter to me. I'm on the format Thursdays, Saturdays, and Mondays, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shows are always available for playback. So this will be archived. You would just go on to www.blogtalkradio.com/EmamAlfred, all one word, and go to the episode section and look for anything with my name. You will see my name listed on the episodes that I do or other hosts that are that is on the format. You would be able to listen to their shows as well. Again, if you have an idea, something you want to see different on the show, and everything does not have to pertain to Islam. There are issues that I talk about that don't have anything to do with Islam, but we like to keep it formatted around that, and also we like to keep it clean. We're not venturing off into some unknown realm. I mean, at least I'm not. You know, I don't know what other hosts do on their shows, but for me, I'm going to keep it as streamlined as possible. You know, we talk about things, you know, outside of Islam, but I keep them clean and I don't let it, you know, get out of hand with things that, you know, are stated on the show because the show is not rated, so anybody can listen. And, you know, I don't want somebody listening to the show and getting the wrong perception of, you know, what we're trying to do here. We're just trying to educate the people, bring enlightenment and peace and prosperity to any and everyone that listens to the show and being able to, you know, maybe shed some light on an issue or a topic that, you know, to know some more information on for your own personal reasons. If I have said anything on this show, past shows, that, you know, was not pleasing to Allah, I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala please forgive me for those things because that was not my intention to try and mislead anyone in Islam. That's not what I'm trying to do. May Allah forgive me if I have, I mean. So we have been talking about a couple of different topics, and I don't know what I'm going to do the show on, but coming up, inshallah, this was a topic that someone suggested, and, you know, I felt as though it was something that should be addressed, so I did the show. Again, I do shows that you suggest. I'm trying to get one of my friends to do a show on fitness because, you know, I've watched girl transition into something nice. Like, you know, she did the thing by dieting and things like that in a healthy way. So I wanted her to get on the show because I'm also, you know, trying to lose weight in a healthy way, and I'm down 13 and a half pounds. So alhamdulillah, I'm glad for that. You know, I want to bring things that will be beneficial to us. Now, I know me. I like carbs. I like, you know, food, comfort food, things that's going to make me feel full. So I had to transition my eating from eating big meals to going into eating smaller meals and smaller portions throughout the day, which has curbed some of the cravings and so forth. So I want to talk about that. Also, there was a good debate online tonight about gelatin. You know, I explained to somebody that we can eat gelatin no matter where it comes from because of the process that it goes through, that even if it did come from pork, it's not haram for us to consume it. You know, people want to argue with me about it. So if you have more information on this that you would like to talk about and discuss, inshallah, I have no problem discussing that. So on that note, I'm going to end the show tonight. Thank you to all my listeners. I appreciate you joining in and participating in the call and listening. Without you, it would be no show. So I'm thankful for you guys, and I appreciate it. Stay tuned for bigger and better things here on Religion Means Alive. Assalamu alaikum, and have a good evening.